Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
We take a closer look at some specific economies across Southeast Asia that are raring to restart their economies and trying to put the pain of the COVID-19 pandemic behind them. And perhaps none more keen than Thailand, especially with their tourism economy that has been hobbled over the last 2 years because of COVID-19 restrictions. And of course, there's talk of potential tax cuts or reliefs in Thailand. Today on Across the ASEAN, we are pleased to be joined by Ms. Maria Lapis. She is the Managing Director and Head of Institutional Research for Maybank Securities Thailand. She joins us today on the show to share with us her outlook on Thai markets and whether Thailand will have a better 2022 than the last 2 years. Ms. Lapis, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. Welcome back to the show. I hope you have had a good start to 2022.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start off with taking a look at the Thai set, which has actually been doing fairly well this year by all accounts, and perhaps just stoking some of these hopes. How have stocks in Bangkok, though, fared versus others in Southeast Asia from your estimates? And where might optimism be coming from at the start of the year?
Up until Monday, the set rose 4% year to date in Thai baht terms, second best in the region after Singapore's SGX. However, in US dollar terms, set gains were watered down to just 1.6% due to the depreciation of the currency. So it is in US dollar terms, it's much behind Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia. Foreign investors were the net buyers, continuing the trend in December. And this is on the speculation that the current account surplus will turn into surplus this year on the back of strong trade data and recovery in international tourism, which is what you cited earlier on.
All right. And I do want to get into the outlook for the Thai tourism sector, which I think accounts for more than 20% of Thailand's overall economy, at least before the pandemic. But I do have to bring up the questions about inflation that's really been the talk of most markets and economies this year. In Singapore, people have been discussing it ad infinitum. Of course, you can see the raging debates out in the US and other major economies, though. And everyday citizens across the ASEAN are also feeling the pinch in varying degrees. Give us an idea, since you're on the ground there in Bangkok, of how acute our inflationary worries are in Thailand, and if there's room for the government to provide support after the massive amount of spending for COVID support in the last 2 years.
Yes, I look at inflation from two perspectives. One is inflation based on for policy and inflation for reality.
Okay.
Based on the Ministry of Commerce basket, inflation in January was 3.2%. And the F&B segment was 2.39%. These numbers do not look alarming. But in fact, on the ground, and this is inflation for reality, the cost of living is rising so much, has been rising so fast, and in many types of products, from utilities to food to services and everything else. There was one estimate that for those earning minimum wage in Bangkok, that is 331 baht per day, close to 10% of the income will already have been eaten away by inflation. So on the ground and for the mass population, inflation is pretty serious here. However, when we look at the government's capability to help out the mass population, we do not have that much room anymore because, as you mentioned, we have been spending so much to support the economy and people during the two-year COVID pandemic. So the fiscal position is very tight and very limited options to raise taxation so that to improve the income of the government. So there wouldn't be much of subsidies or cost support from the government this time around.
Do you think, though, that this time around, because of how tight the fiscal position is at the moment, that the government will prioritize perhaps replenishing or restoring their fiscal position this year? And what might we expect to perhaps raising revenues as a priority for the government, or will they stay pat?
I think there are, like everywhere else in this region, the government will be trying to mend the fiscal position, but the ability to do so depends on the extent of the recovery. And for us, while we are looking at GDP to grow at about 4% this year, as of now, the recovery has been rather muted. Right. So the government has come up with ways, trying to come up with ways to bring up the tax revenues. But all of these are under discussion and negotiation with the counterparties.
Right. We're speaking to Maria Lapis, the head of institutional research and managing director for Maybank Securities in Thailand here and across the ASEAN. I'm glad we're talking about taxes, though, and restoring the fiscal position of Thailand, because there's also been very interesting news that Thai authorities have mulled the possibility of waiving stock trading taxes in Thailand. What sort of upside might this provide markets there overall? And going back to that previous point, can the government afford to give up any revenue stream from these taxes, given that fiscal position we just talked about?
The tax that is we are talking about is the capital market, right?
Right. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Actually, we are supposed to. There is supposed to be a fee on stock trading higher than 1 million baht, but this hasn't really been implemented. And then this time around, the government is trying to find revenue sources, so they would like to implement this. And if they can implement this, they can raise something like 15 to 20 billion revenues based on turnover, of course. However, there is a very heavy lobbying from FEDCO. This is the Federation of Capital Market Organization. And it looks like this fee will be waived for a bit longer.
Mm. Very interesting developments indeed. And there's even more interesting news with regards to tax support or tax waivers to support new industries like electric vehicles. This is something we actually looked at recently. Is this something that's caught your eye also, Ms. Lapis, in recent times? And what do you make about these particular support measures to try and foster the move towards electrifying vehicles in Thailand? As we know, also, Thailand is touted as the Detroit of Asia because of its role as the epicenter for car manufacturing for this huge continent.
Yes, Thailand would like to maintain that position. So that is the overriding objective for the government, that should really globally we switch to EV from ICE. We would Thailand would like to be in the top 10. So it's very keen to get the EV going in this market. So yesterday's meeting, Tuesday, cabinet meeting, they approved the EV package, you know, waiving this, providing subsidies in the range of 70K to 150K for cars and trucks, waiving the import tariff, reducing the excise taxes, and so on and so forth, so that those that are interested to pursue EV projects would bring their EV overseas into Thailand as in the initial stage, and then subsequently open a production facility here. Just to note that in the ICE arena, we already have the top Japanese manufacturers here. And then fairly recently, we also got a couple of the large Chinese manufacturers here. So if they find this incentive attractive, perhaps they will consider now to add the EV production line into the existing facilities, or maybe find another location for the EV. So this is the attempt of the government to kind of persuade the manufacturers to come here. Whether successful or not, it depends really on how these manufacturers view the domestic potential, because it's kind of hard to come to a country and produce totally for export. There has got to be a domestic base to cover.
All right, and very interesting developments indeed. Now, we might call Thailand affectionately the Detroit of Asia, but in terms of the economic drivers, you might argue that none is more important than tourism, actually. And a lot have been keeping their eyes on the long-awaited reopening. I feel like, Ms. Lapis, you've been talking about this for the better part of the last 2 years also. Now, despite all hopes that Thailand's tourism sector is reopening, I do want to point out that earlier this month, Maybank Securities actually lowered their outlook on the tourism sector to negative. A lot has changed, though, perhaps, over the last couple of weeks. We've seen the Thai baht strengthen on the back of some of these inflows and signs that tourism is starting to recover. What is the updated view now on Thailand's tourism sector? And might any uncertainties prove to be short-term or even short-lived for this very important industry?
Our downgrade on the sector, so to speak, actually was because in January, the sector rose 6%.
Okay.
We thought that that's too much too soon, given that the recovery is still tentative and our full-year target on international traffic is about 5 to 6 million against the 40 million that we saw in 2019. So that is the reason why we downgraded the sector, not because there was a major deterioration on the expectation. It's just that the market, the stocks moved too much too soon. Overall, we still believe on the recovery, but we see that as rather gradual, rather than a major snapback to the 40 million level.
Finally, another significant sector when we look at the Thai stock market is oil and gas. Now, I do want to get your thoughts on this because I'm sure a lot of folks in Bangkok view oil and gas probably as closely as those here in Singapore. On one hand, crude oil prices hitting recent highs might be good for refiners based in Thailand, but it could also mean higher input costs and possible inflationary pressures, feeding back to that the inflation questions that we were talking about a while ago. How might the recent rise in oil prices impact Thailand's oil sector and economy net-net?
Oh, this is a double-edged sword.
Okay.
And there is no net-net to speak of because the affected segment of the economy is different. But one thing for sure, a high crude oil price is positive for the SEC, because the energy sector accounts for nearly 20% of our market capitalization. Our energy here is literally a back-to-back transaction, right? You buy the crude, crack it, and then sell the petrol. But the burden of high oil prices will likely be borne by the real sector and the people. Production costs rising, you can see that in the purchasing price index, up by nearly 10% in Jan. And also you can see on the inflation that I mentioned earlier on how it's affecting people a lot.
Ms. Maria Lapis, Head of Institutional Research and Managing Director for Maybank Securities in Thailand, thank you so much for joining us today on Across the ASEAN and sharing your updated outlook on Thai markets, and fingers, eyes, and toes crossed that perhaps the reopening can indeed take place this time around. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times, and we look forward to next time you can join us on the show. Meanwhile, stay safe, and I hope you have a great rest of the week ahead out there, ma'am.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.